So Luke chapter 2 and verse 1, the birth of Jesus Christ. In those days a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration when Quirinius was governor of Syria. And all went to be registered, each to his own town. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth, to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth, and she gave birth to her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling cloths, and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn. And in the same region there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with fear. Now this bit we should be able to do off by heart. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of a great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Saviour, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all that they had heard and seen, as it had been told them. And at the end of 8 days, when he was circumcised, he was called Jesus, the name given by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. Thanks. I'm going to just consider it. Let's just pray together as we do so. Lord, again, as we turn to your word, the scriptures, we believe that these are words that are inspired by you. They're the truth. They're not just truth for our minds, but truth for our hearts. They're for us to experience and rejoice in. And so we do pray today that you'd give us something of the knowledge of this joy, this great message of joy that was given to the shepherds. We pray that we might know that this morning ourselves. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Could someone just nip the door shut for us, please? I think it'll get cold quite quickly. Thank you. Thanks, Paul. Do you know what it's like, I'm sure you do, to have your peace shattered? You know, when things are quiet, when you're enjoying tranquility, perhaps it doesn't happen very often, but perhaps you just now and again get a moment of peace and tranquility, then something or someone makes a mighty racket that disturbs you. I'm feeling sorry, you know, for the people that are down on the Skinning Grove beach in the morning, because I don't know what it is, but Millie's always been a bit of a barking sort of dog, but just recently she's gone into sort of overdrive with barking. And so if anyone's gone down in the morning for a quiet walk on the beach, and as well as people walking dogs, there are occasionally people down there that are just going out for a walk, I'm afraid that Millie's disturbed their peace. She's shattered their peace. And that's what happened to the angels, to the shepherds. The angels came and shattered their peace. We don't know exactly what they were doing. I guess they probably weren't washing their socks, as sometimes we might sing in laughter. But they were out looking after their sheep, watching over the sheep, perhaps sitting around a fire, perhaps passing their time, I don't know, playing a game or chatting together. And suddenly into that darkness and into the fear, there was brought a message of light. There was brought a message of hope and an angel. But it actually says that the angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with fear. Well, what on earth the glory of the Lord shining around them means, I can't really grasp. We can just imagine perhaps a bright light or the presence of this angel being overwhelming and brought them into fear. What had been like a peaceful scene as they sat out in the country in the quiet and the darkness, suddenly the peace was shattered. And there was an announcement. And the angel brought that good news that we're told was good news of great joy that will be for all of the people. Now, last week we thought particularly about the words good news, that it was good news. This week our focus is on the words great joy. It's a message of great joy. And don't we just need that at the end of 2020 to have a message of great joy? It's not been the best year, perhaps, as we think about it, as our experience has been, as we might consider things at the moment, at least. It's been a challenging year. So, yeah, we really could do with some great joy. Like the shepherds, we're not just waiting and ready to hear some good news, something for our brains to think about, but we really need to experience some joy. We really need to feel something. We need a change. We need God to step in. And this announcement of the angels to the shepherds is not just information for our heads. It's not just recorded in the Bible so that it might inform us. It certainly is that, but it's not just that. This is a message that brings joy with it. This is a message that brings joy, not just then, 2,000 years ago, but it brings joy to us today, 2,000 years later. And so you might ask, well, what makes this message so joyful, so wonderful? Well, to understand what makes this message so joyful, we need to get to grips with verse 11. Have a look at it. Verse 11, it starts with the word for. So it's explaining, isn't it? Is good news of great joy for all the people for. So listen to what's coming. This is the reason why this message is good news and great joy. It's because unto you is born this day in the city of David a Saviour who is Christ the Lord. So the first thing I want to say is it's joy in Jesus' birth. I struggle with that word, Jesus's. Jesus's birth. Joy in his birth. The first thing to notice that this joy, this great joy that's going to be for all people, centers not on things, but on a person, on a baby that was going to be was being born. People look for joy in all sorts of things. They look for joy in nice clothes. They look for joy in gadgets. They look for joy in presents. I guess there's a few of you perhaps hoping and looking for, wondering about some presents. They look for joy in toys. They look for joy in their house. They look for joy in their job. They look for joy in education. They look for joy in fame. They look for joy in partying and drinking. They look for joy in sex. They look for joy in drugs. And all of these things can bring some pleasure for a time, but the joy that's been described to the shepherds is found in a person. And this joy that he's going to speak of and we're going to be thinking about is a deep joy. It's a full joy. It's a permanent joy, not just a fleeting joy, a temporary joy, a passing joy. Of course, every birth of a baby brings joy, but this baby, well, this baby was something special. I wonder, you know, when I think about this, who was the most astonished that day? Was it the shepherds as they were dazzled by this host of angels. You remember that after the one angel came and spoke and gave this announcement, that angel, he was joined by a whole host of angels. And you can just imagine them as they were dazzled by this sight and completely astonished. Were they the most amazed? Or was it the angels that were most amazed? Have you ever thought about that? Can you imagine being an angel that was in heaven with God, knew God, loved God, worshipped God, that's what you did all the time, and then one day the God of heaven has a son who is born on earth. The Son of God that had lived eternally, through whom all things we're told are made, through whom everything is sustained in the world, the one that they had worshipped in heaven, they could now see in a manger. This big, laying, perhaps in a stable, perhaps in a cave, perhaps in the bottom part of a house, we don't really know, but a tiny babel. This God had become a man. It makes me think, I think they were probably the most astounded because they understood what had happened, perhaps more clearly than anyone. It tells us in 1 Peter chapter 1, 10 to 12, that even angels long to look into these things. There are stuff goes on, the gospel really is talking about there, that the understanding of it was astounding to the angels. And fancy that, them seeing the Son of God who they'd worshipped in heaven, now as a tiny baby. This baby would be the source of great joy. Yet he was the one who created and sustains all things. He was fulfilling all the prophecies of the Old Testament. Particularly, it's noted here, I would suggest, that this is in the city of David. This is in Bethlehem, fulfilling that prophecy in Micah chapter 5, verse 2, telling us that the Messiah would come into that town of Bethlehem. Friends, I'm not just standing here today to declare to you a message that I want you to think about. I'm preaching Jesus, the one in whom you can find real, genuine, deep, lasting joy. He is the eternal God incarnate, the eternal God become a man. Do you remember the words of the carol we're going to sing at the end or listen to at the end? Hark, the herald angel sings. It says, veiled in flesh, the Godhead see. Veiled in flesh, the Godhead see. In Jesus, we see clothed, the Son of God, but clothed in flesh. One of the first steps of finding joy in Jesus is to grasp with amazement, surely, that this baby was and still is the Lord of the whole universe. In fact, that's one of the things that the angels call him. He's in the city of David, a Saviour who is Christ the Lord. Christ the Master. The message of the angels brings us joy because of the nature of the person that the message about. And so, yes, surely there is joy in his birth. Joy in a baby being born that was and is the eternal Son of God. Secondly, there is joy in Jesus' job. Or you could say joy in Jesus' task. The angels tell the shepherds, and therefore, because it's recorded, they tell us that the message is good news and it's of great joy because Jesus came as a Saviour. Verse 11, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Saviour. Remember we did that in our memory verse, a Saviour. In fact, the very name Jesus means the Lord saves. If you look at Matthew in chapter 1 and verse 21, you'll find that the angel that appeared to Joseph told him that he must call the baby. He explained that the baby was going to be miraculous and that the name must be Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. I wonder what your name means. Perhaps that's a bit of homework if you don't already know, to go and know, Lord, what your names mean. But Jesus' name means the Lord saves. And there's joy in knowing that this is Jesus' job, to come to earth as a saviour. And this Christmas, this will only be a message of joy to you if you understand the problem that Jesus came to solve. It goes without thinking. If you think about it logically, you're not going to rejoice in a saviour unless you realise what you need in a saviour. This is how the Bible describes our need. The Bible says that we are like someone that's lost that needs to be found. We are like someone who is lame who needs to be made well in order to walk. We are like someone who is blind, spiritually blind, that we might have our sight. In fact, the Bible tells us that we're so bad that one way of describing it is that our situation is like we are dead in trespasses and sins, that we might be made alive through Jesus. Now, if you're walking around Redcar or Staithes or Whitby or one of these other coastal places, you might see a lifeboat or a lifeboat station. And you might admire it. You might think, well, that's a lovely lifeboat. And what wonderful people who go out and risk their lives at sea to save others. What a wonderful thing. You might respect it from a distance. But if you're out at sea and your boat is sinking and the wind is strong and the waves are rough and you let off an emergency message and you see the lifeboat coming towards you, suddenly it's not just respect, is it? These are your saviours. They're coming to rescue you. So today, you can have real joy, not just admiring Jesus and his power to save, not just admiring the birth of this baby in a manger 2,000 years ago, but you can have joy because you have experienced his amazing saving power. Now, I can't make you experience this. It's a work of the Spirit of God. But the joy of the birth of Christ will never make sense. It will never be true joy. It will never be real joy. It will never be a real sense of contentment unless you're first humbled and come to conviction of your sin and understand the situation that you're in and the need that you have of a saviour. Having a saviour come for you is not good news, is it? Unless you know that you're in a mess and you need him. So unless you're willing to see your need of a saviour, you'll never experience that deep and rich and full and permanent joy of his salvation. You might admire him from a distance, but that saves no one. The Bible tells us that God's standards are perfect and that we are sinners and we fall short of that standard. We might say that we're lost in a sea of sin, that we're rebels against God. That's what sin is. It's rebellion against God. We're lost in our self-righteousness. Some people speak as if they're too bad that God would ever love them. Well, if you know that you're bad, you know that you're a sinner, then you're just in the right place to be one who receives Christ as a saviour. Others perhaps think they're too good to hear this message. They think they're do-gooders. They try hard. They're perhaps even religious. But that's not what God's looking for. He's looking for a heart that realises that we're sinners and we need a saviour. What joy there is if you understand yourself and you know something of God, what joy there is in knowing that he sent a saviour for you. I wonder if you know that joy. If not, pray for your sin to be revealed to you. That's the first thing. Ask God to show you how he sees you. He certainly loves you. But in order to know him and to be with him, you first need to know the condition that you're in, so that you can receive the Saviour with joy. If you are a Christian, If this morning you're trusting in the Lord Jesus, you know that he's died for you. You know that he loves you. Rejoice in that goodness. Rejoice in that love. Might your Christmas be so enriched as you thank God for sending you a Saviour. So we thought of the joy in his birth, this God who became a man. We've thought about the joy in his job as Saviour. And now we're going to rejoice and say that there's joy in Jesus' title. And as I'll explain in a minute, another way of putting that is joy in his offices, the positions that he holds. You see, it says in that verse 11, "Unto you is born this day in the city of David a Saviour who is Christ the Lord." And we're going to be thinking about that word Christ. What's that all about? Why does he get called Christ? You know, we call him Jesus Christ. Was that just his surname? You know, like Robin Singleton. Was he just Jesus Christ? Well, no, that's not true. You know, actually, if we had a... They didn't really have a surname then, but they would have probably called him Jesus Bar Joseph. You know, son of Joseph. That would have been his like full name to say whose son he was. Jesus Bar Joseph. But he got this title. It's perhaps better to call it an office, a position. A bit like you might say someone was a head teacher. And that's more than just a job, isn't it? It's an office that they hold. But Jesus is the Christ. So what does Christ mean? Well, Christ means the anointed one. The anointed one. You know, you remember in the olden times they would anoint someone with oil. A special ceremony. They would pour oil on their head. It was something that they did to certain people. And the Old Testament word is Messiah. The Hebrew word is Messiah. It's the same thing, Messiah and Christ. And there are lots of Old Testament prophecies about a Messiah who was to come. And we haven't got time to look at them all today. In fact, we did it a few years ago and thought about some of those prophecies. But I just want to remind you that in the Old Testament, there were three types of people that were anointed when they started their service. And Jesus fulfills them all. So when we call him the Christ, when we say that Jesus is the Christ, incorporated in this one of him being the anointed one is these three things. He is a prophet, he is a priest, he is king. Prophet, priest, and king. These are the three types of people that were anointed. As they began their ministry, they would be anointed as a prophet, or they would be anointed as a priest, or they would be anointed as a king. Let's think just briefly about a prophet. A prophet is someone who comes to speak the word of God, to speak on God's behalf, to announce things from God. It wasn't just to announce things that were going to happen in the future. That is part of it. So there's lots of prophecies in the Old Testament that speak about what's going to happen in the distance. But it's not just that. It's to speak God's message for today as well, is also prophecy. It's like a messenger of God. Think about Jesus then. As we think about joy in Jesus, think about him coming as the Christ and fulfilling these three things. He is the one who comes as the prophet, not just a prophet, but the prophet, to speak God's word to us. In fact, he's so closely aligned with God's word that we call him the Word. You remember at the beginning of John's Gospel? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And we're told later on that he came and dwelt among us for a time. This is Jesus, the prophet. He comes and speaks the message that we need to hear. He speaks into the current situation. He tells us what we need. And he also does, of course, tell us about stuff that's yet to come. And so how do we respond to a prophet? We respond to a prophet by believing the words they say. That's what was supposed to happen as the prophets went out in the Old Testament and spoke. What God wanted people to do was to believe what they said. And so that's the call to us. As we have joy in this Jesus who is the Christ, he's a prophet who speaks, and we need to believe the words he said. And there will be joy when we do that. when we're believing God's word. Secondly, he's the priest. Now, a priest is like a go-between. Someone who is like a mediator, who represents God to man and represents man to God. Especially that second side, representing man to God. Speaking on man's behalf. Bringing an offering to God on behalf of the people. This is what the Old Testament priests had to do. They were the ones who went right into the holy place. And once a year right into the most holy place to bring an offering on behalf of all the people. The priest was sort of standing, representing everybody else behind them. With that in mind, let me just read to you 1 Timothy chapter 5, chapter 2, verses 5 and 6. For there is one God, and there is one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. Notice there, Christ Jesus. Who gave himself as a ransom for all, which is the testimony given at the proper time. Here we have a reminder, the priest, Jesus a priest, we have the reminder that he is the one who enables us to have access to God the Father. He has come down and he is identified with us, he is one of us, just like the priests were one of us. He was one of us, but yet he was perfect in every way. He was tempted just as we are, but didn't sin. He's able to sympathize with our weaknesses, yet he never put a foot wrong. He never spoke wrongly. He never thought wrongly. He was able to not just present a sacrifice on our behalf, but he presented himself as the sacrifice on our behalf. He is the mediator between us and God. There is no other way to our Heavenly Father except through the Lord Jesus. This is good news, friends. And what are we supposed to do in response to this? If you're supposed to believe a prophet, then I would say you're supposed to trust the priest. Trust him as he comes and stands in our behalf and makes an offering on behalf of our sin. We're being called to trust in him. So prophet and priest, and he comes as a king. Remember, this is all to do with Christ. He was anointed. This is his title. This is his office. Or his offices. He comes as king. You remember in Matthew, there's much to do about him coming as king. And Herod gets worried because he's the king and he doesn't want another king being born on his territory. A king is one who rules and reigns and controls, one who's sovereign. And in a way, this is the one that the Jews anticipated the most as they read the prophecies of the Messiah. They were looking for this king that was going to come, just like David, and was going to be a greater king than David. And they thought he would come and he would reign over them and he'd get rid of the Romans and there will be a glorious nation again. But they'd misunderstood the nature of his kingdom. Jesus said that his kingdom was not of this world. His kingdom was a spiritual kingdom. He said to them, the kingdom is among you. The kingdom is anywhere and anyone that acknowledges Jesus as king. So if this morning you're acknowledging Jesus as king of your life, the one who rules and reigns, and you accept him as sovereign Lord, then you are part of his kingdom. That's where his kingdom is. That it's impossible to cross like country boundaries. It expands the globe. Even in countries that try and outrule people worshipping Jesus, there's still those who quietly, without being seen, are seeking to give glory to Jesus and are part of his kingdom and know the joy that there is in living under King Jesus. You know, we often speak of authority, don't we? And speak of people over us as if it's a bad thing. And one of the reasons for that is because sometimes it is bad because these people are sinners like us. And sometimes their sin gets in the way and they treat us badly or unfairly or unjustly or we get oppressed or whatever. But this king, Jesus, is a king. He's being born, this anointed one, he's being born as a king, and he reigns perfectly. He's a glorious king. What better place to put your life than under his authority? You see, authority is a good thing that God has given us. And what we're called to do in response to this sort of authority is to obey. So we believe the words of the prophet. We believe Christ's words. We trust the priest. We trust in what Jesus has done for us. And we obey him as king. You know, these things will bring us joy. If you're still searching for joy, this is the place to find it. If you're searching for lasting joy, not just a quick bit of pleasure, but if you're looking for lasting, deep, permanent joy, you'll find it in learning the truth from Christ. You'll find it in trusting in him and receiving forgiveness and salvation. You'll find it in obeying him, obeying Christ. If you think about what a good king would produce in a land, in a physical terms, in a worldly sense, a good king would produce unity, wouldn't he? He'd bring purpose to the land. He'd bring a sense of loyalty. There'd be a real strong bond between the people and the king, because we know he's looking after us and he's doing us good. And this is the joy that we can know in Christ. Now, I spoke earlier about your peace being shattered. Now, I spoke about Millie on the beach and such like. You know, usually when we're talking about our peace being shattered, we're speaking of something being spoiled, aren't we? You know, our comforts being disturbed. Some noise is getting on our nerves, or something's going on that's unsettling us. And there's a lot of people, I guess, feeling like that this year. Feeling unsettled. Feeling disturbed by all that's been going on and the COVID-19 and the response to it. But you know, sometimes there's an interruption in our lives that's the most glorious thing. I wonder if you've ever had one where something has completely astonished you, something has completely surprised you, out of the blue, of the calm of tranquility, something has happened and it's proved to be the most marvelous thing. I don't know, perhaps someone can remember a surprise marriage proposal. Just blew them out of the water and just changed the direction of their life. Or perhaps you got a call from an old friend you hadn't seen for years, or from some member of the family that you'd fallen out with, and something new happens. Or perhaps just some wonderful gift that arrives, and you're just so thankful for it. What could be a better way of shattering your peace today than to hear the good news that the angels announced? The good news of a birth, not just of any birth, but the birth of the Son of God, the birth of the Saviour, the birth of Christ, prophet, priest, and king. There's real joy in knowing this today. The angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of a great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Saviour, who is Christ the Lord." Let's pray. And let's be thankful to our God for sending us such a one. Lord, we just thank you this morning for this joy. We feel that we desperately need joy. And Lord, as we look at ourselves and we see our need, how, Lord, we thank you that you've sent us a Saviour. How, Lord, we thank you that you've sent your Son, God himself, here on earth. The one who came as Christ the Lord. The one who came as prophet, priest and king. And the one who today reigns and rules in heaven, ascended on high. Lord, we thank you for this wonderful news. And we just pray that you would give us a sense of thankfulness and joy, despite the circumstances that we currently experience. And we pray that this joy might be lasting and permanent. A real understanding of all that you've given us in this indescribable gift of your Son Jesus. And as we think about him and rejoice in him, we pray for those this morning who don't know him, who for whom perhaps Christmas is just a bit of time and They were hoping to spend time with family or enjoy some gifts, whatever. We pray that as well as experiencing some of those pleasures, just passing things, but we pray that they would find real, permanent treasure in Jesus. In his name we pray. Amen. Let's listen together and perhaps sing under our breath, I don't know. Hark the herald angels sing.